Welcome back to another episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast.
This is episode 12 of the podcast.
And today, we're going to the Middle Ages, and we're bringing a guest along that we had last season. Akash?
Hello, my name is Akash, and I'll be talking about the Mongol Empire, too.
So, Akash, last season, was actually a guest with us when we discussed the Korean War and if it went nuclear, and what if the Suez Crisis escalated.
Yeah, but there's a Suez Crisis right now, too.
So today, our scenario is...
What if the Mongol Empire never fell?
So first of all, let's take some context. The Mongol Empire. The Empire, it's really known for Genghis Khan's, massive advances at conquering during around late 13th century. He essentially founded the Empire for the most part and what we know of it today. And what led to the collapse was after Genghis Khan, it didn't obviously collapse right after Genghis Khan, but there was one issue. There was too many heirs to the throne because Genghis Khan is known for obviously having so many kids and stuff. That caused a lot of issues because now all these different people, they were claiming the throne. And after Genghis Khan specifically, and there was four major ones that had claims to the throne, which actually threw the empire into chaos. Eventually they sorted out their claims, but this has just been a tradition that just continued throughout the empire until like around a century later it collapsed.
So in our scenario, we're going to take it in the path of what if Goyuk was actually able to reproduce? Because in actual history, the reason why the Ogodai line failed eventually was because of the fact that Goyuk just couldn't reproduce at all. He didn't have any kids. And so it passed on to his brother, and then it passed on to the line through Tolui Khan, who we have now as Kublai Khan. And so what do you guys think if Goyuk was able to have kids? What do you think? Do you think there would be more – you think that would provide stability to Genghis Khan? Do you think that would provide stability to the Mongol Empire?
I think temporarily, yeah. But one pattern that is present throughout history is that empires in their size are limited by communications technology and relevant technologies like that, transportation and whatnot. Because think about this, for example. Let's say your empire stretches far out, but it takes a lot of time to like discuss with them, right? In a sense, they have a lot more autonomy from your empire than the more central of your empire. So they might get foreign ideas, foreign thoughts, whatnot. Yeah, so eventually they're going to get foreign ideas, foreign cultures, because they're much closer to foreign empires and foreign nations than your homeland, your center of your empire. And especially since it takes longer to get there, transportation-wise, it's just your culture just separately develops. And eventually, you're going to want to rebel and form your own nation state.
I mean, yeah, if you could look at it, for example, in terms of the early British Empire compared to the later British Empire, because I believe the only reason why the early British Empire succeeded in its own right is because mainly the land that they populated became all fully anglicized, or anglicized, I believe the word is. I don't remember the exact word for it. Basically, they became a majority English settlers. And if we look at the later British Empire, for example, with increased communication technology, we see the British Raj, for example, which is India. And I guarantee you, India will definitely not get outpopulated by British white people. And also look at Africa, for example. They were able to contain such a large empire. And we can even look at Russia, for example, with the Soviet Union. They had so many different ethnicities in there. And with, like, for example, the telegram is a major invention. That'll change war entirely, actually, as a matter of fact. If you want to look at the American Civil War, that's the first big use of a telegram. And also not the Franco-Prussian War, the Brothers' War in Germany is the correct terminology for it. And basically that what the Prussians did is that they learned from the communication technology along with tons of other technologies from the United States of America. So yeah, I definitely do agree with your point that technology is such a big part in creating an empire. And we could see that in several examples in modern day, like I mentioned before, with colonial empires.
Okay, so one alternate solution we could have had was if Goyuk, the grandson of Genghis Khan, was more fertile. This would have led to a more stable succession, because since he wasn't fertile, this led to the whole empire being going to the nephew, which then led to, at that point, the whole succession thing got changed because it was no longer in, the main family line, and this led to, the fall, the decline of the Mongol Empire.
But also what's also important is that, like you were saying before about the succession line, and that's very important. We could look at, for example, the War of Roses in Europe. And if you look at it, both sides, which a Plantagenet was actually the king of the time, or basically they were basically the rulers at the time, the ruling family, that both Lancaster and York are actually related. So I think that's important to mention that succession, if you do have succession problems, there definitely will be a succession war in the future. And you could look at that in terms of also Francia, for example, during the 700s with Charlemagne. His empire, basically it was Francian tradition to split up your empire between how many sons. That's how we've got East Francia, Lotharingia, and also West Francia. It was usually like a cycle which, oh yeah, we unite and we break up, unite and break up. It's actually pretty weird, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, so I think what you guys are saying is definitely true. The monarchies in succession, if it leaves that original family line, it can definitely cause strange succession lines here and there, then false claims, or just multiple claims in general. But one thing I want to point out now, it's different from the succession line, honestly, but if the Mongol Empire were to still be alive like for some time longer, and they conquered more like towards the west, I think it's very possible that the European nations would start to fear the Mongols, because they already had like very threatening rumors of these conquerors, these mass murders, you can say, because Genghis Khan did kill a lot of people. Like, he basically killed any civilian that like decided to work against him or refused.
It was really just anybody from any city that refused to surrender. Like, for example, if you look at several cities, like what was it? If you look at what he did to the Khwarezmid Empire, that was a that was a bloodshed, man. Ooh. But in reality, though, I do think in terms of how I think he would have expanded more into Europe, per se, or basically Kublai Khan. And my reasoning, I don't think he would expand into Europe, but my reasoning behind that is just because of the fact is that he was consolidating China for most of his reign. And then we also have the Mongol invasion of Japan, for example, which would both fail, because I don't think anything about the weather would still change. But do I think he would go into Europe by the end of his reign in what, 1295, I think the year was, right? I think that's a potential. I think that's a potential, but no. But I don't think it would happen. But I do think the empire would stay longer. So, but also I have to mention beforehand that actually that the Mamluks, for example, they actually defeated the Mongols. So I don't think an expansion to the Middle East furthermore would be possible because of the fact that the Mamluks were actually almost kind of like evenly matched to the Mongols. They had a big battle, but they actually lost. The Mongols actually lost, which was pretty surprising, even though it was a token force. So really, the Mongols just didn't defeat you one time. They just didn't give it two nannies, really.
I gotta disagree with you, Nick, this time. I know. I agree with you a lot, but this time I will disagree with you. Mongolians, what do you think about Mongolians? They're strategic warriors. They'll do anything to conquer land, my guy. Think about it.
Yeah, but it's not, like I said, my logic wasn't with the fact that the Mongols aren't strategic geniuses. Well, specifically, it's Kublai Khan you're referencing here. And Kublai Khan was actually another strategic genius like Genghis Khan was. And my logic was that the fact is that China is not an easy country to consolidate. So I do think, because since he conquered in 1279, it's kind of hard to consolidate China. And usually what happens with China, for example, is that when you ever invade a larger nation, like say Mongolia invades China, or if you actually look at King China, for example, the Manchurians invade China, they usually tend to adopt the culture of the bigger pop culture. For example, I've seen like an alternate history of like, what if the English conquered France during the Hundred Years' War. So in the scenario that they gave out is that eventually the English become more French over time, which is a fair point to say. But getting back to my point here is that it's not the problem in terms of like how the Mongols are not strategic geniuses. It's just in terms of the fact that it makes no sense stability-wise to go after Europe at that time, because right now they're just trying to consolidate China right now. As China, I think the Mongols would personally view China a lot more importantly than, say, Poland. No offense to Poland.
Yeah. So anyways, I agree with the point that the Mongolians did value China more than Europe. I mean, like, why would they value like a place far, far away than like China, which was like closer? Like, they had many policies, like the religious policy, where they allowed any person to follow or believe any religion they want, because they believed in stability and prosperity. But I believe they got stability and prosperity really quick based on their policies. Even though they didn't allow Chinese people to have higher positions, I still think that where their how they deal with like foreign territories. I mean, like, look at Korea. You say that they won't like officially like make Korea like as part of like the Mongolian Empire, but they eventually did because they fought back and fought back, and they had like very many like ways to like deal with like Korean sentiment, and they eventually did it. So it's depending on time, if you ask me. I think they will do it quick and then like focus on other lands.
Also, one point I wanted to add was like, I feel like the Mongol Empire, they were able to conquer so much land was because even though like they took over lots, even though they like violently took over places, they allowed the people to, yeah, as Tej mentioned, practice their own beliefs, because the Mongols, they believed in shamanism, which meant that their entire religion was based off the land, and they couldn't push their thing, they couldn't push their whole ideology onto other things because obviously it wouldn't work.
Anyways, so based on that, I think Mongolians would focus on Europe and Middle East. I think they'll do it very successfully. I mean, like, to be fair, I think the Mongolians just had a very better, like, strategic wise on conquering Europe. It's just that, obviously, you know, there's limitations to an empire. But they're also very, I'm just going to say, they're also very good of handling how much, like, soldiers they'll place, like, in a land. Like, look at Genghis Khan. Reason he was one of the most strategic minds in the Mongolian Empire is because he knew how to use his soldiers to occupy land that will make that land, like, officially part of the Mongolian Empire. So based on this alternate history, if the Mongolians practice those strategies, they will able to conquer land easier and make lands more stabilized.
All right, so let me just ask you something real quick, Tej. I just want to know, do you know when the Khwarezmid Empire, the invasion of the Khwarezmid Empire happened compared to when Genghis Khan died?
No.
6 years. Predict about 6 years before him.
Okay.
So getting back to your point, I know I just wanted to mention that because in terms of the fact that the Mongols, I didn't like, they were great administrators because of the fact they were so lax. But getting back to your point, getting back to the point you were making is that in this scenario, we still can't assume that Kublai would be the Khan. So we can't predict who the next leader would be. He could be some buffoon for all we know leading the Mongols, and he can't do nothing. So that, if you have a buffoon leading the Khan, like the Khaganate, then it makes no sense how he would be able to even invade the Europe to begin with. And the Middle East, for example, in actual history, he lost to the Kublai Khan-led Mongol Empire, which Kublai Khan, like I said, was a military strategic genius. And they also lost to a pretty good general as well, because the Mongols, like, we underrate the Mongolian generals too. That's important to note. But I still think that your point with the Middle East and even Europe, I think that's still wrong.
You make a fair point, but I was going to say, like, even with a like very like dumb leader, I still think Mongolians will listen to the generals. And like what you literally like said it like 5 seconds ago,
but still, if you don't realize that it doesn't matter how good the generals are, it matters how good the leaders are.
But I also, I mean, I don't know all Mongolian leaders, but
no, Tej. So you know how it's a whole nomadic thing, right? Basically, the leaders were based off of like how much honorable they are. Everyone, even if the leader isn't strong, the people are going to sense it. That's what leads to like a bunch of civil wars. So that's how Temujin.
Yeah, I mean, Akash, that's a fair point. Now, I want to bring up an alternate history concept. So let's say like somehow or, you know, there was this good succession, the Mongol Empire survived until the Age of Exploration started in our timeline. Do you think an Age of Exploration would happen out west? Because one of the few reasons why, obviously, Christopher Columbus went on his famous journey across the Atlantic Ocean is because they needed to find a better path to India, because before the Mongol Empire, the Silk Road was open, so that allows easy access to India and China. But with the Mongol Empire collapsing, the whole Silk Road was just unstable, and merchants just couldn't really go that way anymore. It was either go around Africa, which is very long, and also that ship technology did not exist for like until the Age of Exploration started, actually, in fact. And another one is to go through that unstable region with all these different changing hands and empires. So me personally, if the Mongol Empire, I don't think the Europeans would see a need to go out west to find another route. I think that the Silk Trade would satisfy them until the Mongol Empire obviously became unstable and collapsed. Because it's eventually it's gonna just it's too big for its time. That's the point. It can't stay alive into the modern day. It's too big for its time.
Yeah, but Rohan, this is alternate history. It doesn't have to be exactly 100% accurate to actual history. We can make it in terms of it's perfect.
So the then Mongol- would you think the Age of Exploration would never happen?
So with the honestly though, it really depends though if for example, like with the Ottoman rise. Because the Silk Road in general, like if you look at this, it's kind of had to be absolutely massive because the Mongol Empire was the largest continuous land empire in history. So do I think I think the Europeans, depending on if the Ottomans exist, because we really do, in this case, you're just forgetting about the Ottomans. So do I think the Ottomans would still, still rise up? I do think potentially they could because of the fact that at the time though, the Byzantines weren't really bothered by the Mongols. Actually, but if we're getting back the point though, so it really depends on if the Ottomans rise up too. Because if we're going into a scenario where the Mongols survive until the Age of Exploration, say when Christopher Columbus was sailing, I do still think that would happen, but also kind of not really. So basically, like it really depends all upon the factor of the Ottomans. If the Ottomans rise up and they just want to say, go, you're not going to do anything with me, you got to trade with the Mongols. But the difference between the Mongols and say it's a huge difference, but also you're kind of safer within their own borders. But I think it's honestly more in terms of like it really kind of depends on the Ottomans. I know I keep repeating myself, but I do think that personally it probably wouldn't happen. But I think it also kind of could happen. It's more in terms of like a 50-50 split on my opinion. But if the Mongols did fall, like after this scenario, let's say like let's just say I don't know, like 1400, the year 1400, for example. Which we could even get into later on if we're referring to Tamerlane, for example, which I think is pretty important to relate to because he was the one who claimed that he was related to Genghis Khan, which he was through in-law blood. But I think if the Mongols would still fall and not be around during that time, I do think that they 100% would go for it. 100% would be going to the New World or just looking going west to India.
Yeah, 1400 definitely is because that's before the Age of Exploration. Obviously, the Age of Exploration started after Christopher Columbus came back with his 1492, sail to North America.
Or quote-unquote discovery.
Yeah, discovery. My bad. That's a good point because the Ottomans, they did disrupt the Silk Trade. If you think about it, how do you go from Europe to Asia? Most routes go through the Middle East. And who controls the gateway to the Middle East? Turkey.
Yeah, I just want to add on to that in terms of the fact that if we look at like where it is, like the most economical way to go to India is for sure through Turkey, for example. I don't think you really want to go through the steppes in order to get to India or even China. So I think honestly, I think it's really if Turkey rises up. I think that's the big thing, or the Ottomans in general rises up.
I was about to say that if the Ottomans don't rise up, any other power could rise up in Turkey. It kind of sounds impossible, but I'll say it's a possibility. That they could, cut off the Silk Road, but it's like very rare, I'll say, for alternate.
I know we forgot about this, but heading back to the European point, which we mentioned earlier. So going back to Nick's point, he was talking about how the current leader at that time, he just did not have the time to go to Europe. So maybe after a generation or two of stabilizing China, we have a leader that's good at military strategy and whatnot. So he decides to do an incursion on Europe. Would the Europeans respond with somewhat of a coalition or something after? I mean, obviously they won't do it right away, but like after they see how the Mongol Empire quickly like goes through these nations and like just conquers them. Do you think the Europeans would respond by uniting to fight back this common threat?
See, I don't even think the first point is really that possible in terms of a incursion and like going against them. The difference between the difference between Europeans and the Mongols during this time period is just the amount of forts they had on their borders, for example, because the Europeans had a ton of fortifications and castles and stuff like that. Like even if they weren't, I believe they also invaded Poland, which failed as well, which is kind of funny because Poland always gets invaded. But getting back to point, I think it's in terms of like how are we defining it. So on the battlefield, if it's just open plain, no matter what, the Europeans are probably getting absolutely slaughtered. But if it's fortifications, I think it could be a potential different story right there. So it really depends. Are you trying to talk? So where are they fighting on? Are they fighting on an open battlefield? It really depends on terrain. That's my opinion on it. So I don't think the Mongols will get that far in Europe.
Yeah, because Poland is rolling hills, it's plains, but as soon as you get more deep into Central Europe, it is more mountainous, definitely. And
I'm talking about force specifically. I'm not even talking about terrain. I know I mentioned terrain, but I'm saying like if it's a because Europe is different, is a completely different scenario than say the Mamluks or Asia. Because Europe basically focused on defense, specifically with castles and fortifications and stuff like that. So that's really my take on it in terms of that. It really depends where they're fighting. If it's an open battlefield, the Mongols absolutely would destroy the Europeans because a hunk and clunk of armor is not going to stop a horse charging at you and stopping them from taking off your head.
Okay, yeah. So like the main reason why Mongol had like such a big like power in Asia was because like most of the nations there were like underdeveloped. Like they didn't have like big castles, big fortifications. It was more just like flatlands or like the Mongols' horses can just easily go through, wipe out a bunch of places, like, very quickly. So the difference between that and Europe is that Europe is, like, more of like an actual developed nation. There's, like, castles, there's walls, and it's actually harder to get through, too. So, like, the Mongols with their horses, they're not really going to get that far into it because of how... And the Europeans would be defending, too. So they have, like, that type of bonus, too. So, yeah, they're not going to get that far into Europe because of that reasons.
Well, speaking of like fortifications, like I said before, I think one thing we could talk about is actually the Black Plague. And now hear me out before we talk about this. So as you know, it's been heavily rumored, or not heavily rumored, but heavily believed that when the Golden Horde was actually trying to siege out Kaffa, which is a Genoan city in about 1346, I'd say, that the rats of had the plague actually jumped onto some Genoan merchant ships that were evacuating, and then they came to Europe. So I think the real question is that in terms of that, if that's true, for example, what do you think is going to happen with the Black Death in Europe? Because due to Mongols, and also we have to also mention that the Mongols practice throwing in corpses with the plague or just dead corpses in general, the dead plague to cities in the Middle East, for example. And so what do you think? So if we're using the logic that they're going to be fighting in forts, do you think that the plague would potentially spread faster? And for example, here, if we're dealing with the fortifications logic and that Poland's basically on the frontier, we're going to go with Poland was actually not really hit that hard, to be honest, because for several reasons, but Poland was actually really not hit at all. So do you think, so I know Poland's going to get hit more in this time. What do you think about the rest of Europe, Western Europe, Central Europe, whatever?
One thing I want to say before is that, so the first Mongol invasion of Poland was actually a distraction and they wanted to invade Hungary, which they would have successfully, but the Khan died. So like basically all the troops just left for...
Well, how do you know they could invade it successfully if it never happened?
No, it did. I'm just saying in our timeline.
I'm saying how do you know they would successfully invade? Because you have to look at Hungary during that time, because if we're looking at Hungary in terms of how they were, so what was this, like the 1200s, right?
Yeah.
If we're looking at Hungary in the 1200s, for example, during that time period, they were surrounded by the Carpathian Mountains in every single direction. So I think it's extremely unlikely they successfully invade Hungary in terms of the fact that they have the entirety of the Carpathian Mountains surrounding them, which is a huge part, like I said before, with features, with terrain, for example. I think it's honestly impossible for them to invade that, because not only is it not plains, it's literal mountains. So I don't think they're doing anything with it. Rohan, the entirety of Hungary is literally during that time period is literally surrounded by the Carpathian Mountains because they have Transylvania under their control. Yeah. Unless they're invading through Wallachia, though.
Anyway, let's go back to your point about the body throwing. So if the Europeans, like, I guess they had rumors that Mongolians were doing stuff, I think that, you know how propaganda posters are, right? They do extremism and stuff. I think that the Europeans would actually use that for propaganda. Like saying, these Mongolians, they're throwing bodies, they're instead of burying their dead and whatnot, they're using them as weapons and not respecting the bodies and whatnot.
It's really, yeah, it's really in terms of how, like, with Catholicism, for example, and Christianity. So what do you think about a potential crusade happening against Mongols? Since, I mean, even though they were tolerant, like religiously tolerant, they're still technically considered heretics. Like, for example, we're not even going to talk about Muslims. We could talk about what they did with the pagans up north with the Teutonic Knights, which is the reason why the Teutonic Order existed in Eastern Prussia and the Livonian Order existed in modern-day Latvia, or just Livonia, I should call it, in general.
Yeah, I think Europe would have somewhat of a crusade against these Mongolians. And I think the bigger picture is because they're, like, I guess, disrespecting Christian society by throwing like European soldiers, for example. They're using them as weapons, like dead bodies. Like, that's...
Because it's, even if you look at a modern day, for example, if you look at like the Civil War, for example, even back then they were still respectfully burying bodies of their off the opposite side. So it's more of in terms of like a Christian tradition to bury someone respectfully, like in a grave and everything, like, you know what I mean? So I think in terms of it'd be not only be disrespectful, but it'll also be like be disrespectful. What am I saying here?
Yeah, so I think a crusade or a coalition of somewhat to drive back the Mongolians, would it collapse the empire? No, but I think would definitely cause instability, and it would make the Mongols not look to Europe for some time.
I don't think the Mongols would look back at all to Europe, honestly.
Yeah, I think
at this point they might as well consolidate.
I think it could even inspire revolts throughout the empire, actually, because they see, you know, there's news that the Mongolians can be defeated, you know what I mean? And I think that right there is a big boost if you're like living under an oppressed regime. If your oppressors, your conquerors can be defeated, that helps morale
Do you think they would tell, oh yeah, a bunch of people from way out west beat us? Do you think they would honestly tell people that?
They wouldn't, but news can still spread, especially...
It can still spread, but it might be a couple of years, knowing how information spread.
Yeah, a couple of years, like, you know, probably a decade, right, Marie? But it will still get there eventually.
Yeah, I understand your point there.
And honestly, this defeat right here, I think, could cripple the Empire. Because as I was saying, these uprisings and stuff, you know, they'll have more and more revolts to put down. Like, it'll become eventually, like, you know how the Western Roman Empire fell with internal struggles and the Germanic tribes invading? So obviously it wouldn't be Germanic tribes, but, you know, other tribes, other nation states trying to get a piece of Mongol Empire, trying to take advantage of the instability, you know?
Good point there, Rohan, but I think the last thing we should mention in terms of, it's not really a big thing, but I think we should just honestly mention how the influence of the Mongols on Tamerlane, or Timur-Daleme in this case. So I assume you know about Timur's conquest throughout. Actually, fun fact, they actually were going after China. And they were actually about ready to invade China, but Timur died in 1405. So what do you think would happen if Do you think Timur would still be the same, let's just say, if the Mongols were still alive? Because I don't think that Timur would even have a major effect per se on the world.
I think Timur, personally, he was just filling up an empty void that the Mongols left behind. So if that void was obviously not empty to begin with, how is he going to fill a full void, if you get what I mean?
Like Rohan said, there was a void of power in the reality where the Mongolian Empire fell, and Timur basically took that advantage and basically took many various successor states of the Ilkhanate. I don't think it's possible, because I think the Timur will get absolutely destroyed. I mean, like, in this reality, we have a stronger Mongolian Empire, and no offense to the Timur, but, like, they were very smart for taking advantage of a very, like, unstable states around them, but I mean, that's just my point of perspective. It's very simple. They just get destroyed. They don't get any advantages that they did in their reality.
Yeah, I think that concludes a pretty healthy discussion we had on an alternate history in which Mongolia and its empire did not collapse when it did for our timeline. It collapsed somewhere in the future. who knows, a few generations, a few centuries. The thing is, the Mongol Empire, it was just too big for its time. It is just destined to collapse. If it didn't collapse then like it did in our timeline, it was going to collapse later. There was no stopping it. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. If you have any comments, suggestion, feedback, you can send it to our Twitter, at BackToThePastV1, with the PM, or you can reply on a comment, whatnot, tag us. Yeah, Akash, thank you for coming back as a guest again. I hope you enjoyed, and see you soon, maybe it's another episode?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you did pretty good. Oh, sorry for interrupting. I just want to say you're very good. You did very well.
Thank you, yeah.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode in the Back to the Past. I, the hosts, love your support and your attention of this alternate history podcast. We love your appreciation, and I hope you will come to our next episode because, let's just say, it's very special.